Hi, you're listening to The Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. The virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. So it has been a season of senses. Our eyes search for light in the midst of darkness, and we're reminded by that light when we light the Advent candles. We have hope, peace, love, and joy. The last candle we light today is the candle of joy. Because joy is the culmination of what Christ came to bring. We begin with hope, the faith of a new day, of a new beginning, that brings us to peace with God and with each other. Then that teaches us how to love one another and how to stay in love with God. Then eventually we find ourselves being filled with joy, a joy that goes beyond words, a joy that goes beyond what earth can bring. It is a season of senses. Our eyes search for light in the midst of darkness. Our ears are tuned to sleigh bells and choirs singing. We enjoy the tastes and the smells of, for a limited time only, gingerbread lattes and evergreen-scented candles. Today we talk about the sense of touch and the power of touch. Now, we're going to do things a little bit differently for the sermon today. The pattern that we have been following so far is like when we did sight, we talked about we see the decorations of the year, but maybe we, instead of just stopping at the decorations, we should see the people who were decorating downtown and what is their story and what is God doing in their life. Same thing with our series on sound or the sense of sound. We hear the music of the season, but maybe we should be hearing the cry of the needy and the cry of the oppressed. Now, if we were following that same pattern, today would be something like this. The sermon would be, during this time of year, our hands are busy wrapping presents and taking out our debit card and gathering stuff, but maybe our hands should be in service to God's people. Our hands should be open to those most in need, or our hands should be together in prayer. But instead of meditating on what our hands should be doing, today we're going to talk about the mystery of the fact that God had hands. Advent and Christmas is a time in which we meditate on the mystery of the incarnation, of God putting on flesh. God now has eyes and ears and hands. And it's a mystery, fully human, fully divine. It's the mystery of the incarnation. And that word, incarnation, means, if you break it up into its pieces, it means in, which is in. Carne, which means flesh, like carnivore, yeah? Flesh. So incarne, in flesh, and then shun reminds us that the word is over. Incarnation. Shun, well, shun is actually for you English. She just left. I was going to say for the English nerds in the room, shun makes a verb into a noun. Okay, so you elect someone at an election. Yeah? Okay, so incarnation in the flesh, the action of being in the flesh made into a noun. This season of census points us to the realization that God now has senses. And it places God in a radically vulnerable spot. Stanley Hauerwas, who's an ethics professor, said this, and this is on your sheet. To be human is to be vulnerable, but to be a baby is to be vulnerable in a manner we spend a lifetime denying. Indeed, Jesus was a baby refusing to forego the vulnerability that would climax in his crucifixion. And as such, Jesus was entrusted to the care of Mary and Joseph. They could not save him from the crucifixion, but they were indispensable agents to making his life possible. The Savior had parents. Now, I've known this for quite a while. I've known Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus since I was nearly a baby. I've known that story, but it never quite made sense to me until this week, that Jesus had a mom and a dad. Jesus had parents. That became abundantly clear of the vulnerability of that. On Friday, we were running around doing all these things, getting the house ready, wrapping stuff, and we had dueling Christmas programs. Both of our kids were in different schools, and then our nieces and nephew were out of town, and another Christmas program were running around, and I thought, what was God thinking by being born to parents? Parents screw up, and parents don't get everything right, and parents forget things. And Mary and Joseph, in the Gospel of Luke, left Jesus in the temple for a whole day. They were traveling for a whole day before they realized, Mary, do you have Jesus? I thought he was with you. Oy vey. And then they travel back to the parents are so fallible and can I say human? Parents are human. What in the world was God thinking? What was God thinking when God decided to empty himself and rely on humanity in order to save humanity? Chew on that for just a second. God emptied himself and relied on humanity in order to save humanity. The incarnation reveals the essence of faith, which is the vulnerability of trust. Faith is a vulnerability of trust. Faith is not a protective bubble against the dark places of the world. If it were, God would have never allowed himself to be raised by a pair of human, fallible, everyday, albeit blessed, and faithful parents. In other words, Christmas reveals that God trusted humanity more than humanity ever trusted itself. Christmas is so mind-numbingly profound. God trusted humanity in order to save humanity. Now I read Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 17 a bit differently. I went over that verse again this week, and that's also on your sheet. It says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." Through faith for faith. God had to trust in humanity in order to save it. What does that mean for God to trust in the broken, imperfect, screwed up people of the world? If God can trust in the midst of imperfection and brokenness, then maybe I can too. If God can trust and straight up regular people, if God can learn to love the broken, the imperfect people of the world, maybe I can too. Saint Athanasius said, God cannot redeem, this is on your sheet too, God cannot redeem what God did not assume. God cannot redeem what God cannot, what God cannot redeem what God did not assume, which means that God assumed humanity as a baby. From beginning to end, God was born, God lived, God died and suffered so that all of that can be redeemed, can be bought back, so to speak. All of that can take on a holy significance. God entered into brokenness, entered into an imperfect household. God had eyes which cried. God had ears to hear the question, "Why, Lord?" God had a mouth to taste the bitter herbs of poverty and oppression. God had hands outstretched asking for his mother. On the cross, God had hands outstretched saying, "Here is your mother," to the beloved disciple. God had hands which were wounded and showed them to Thomas because it's what Thomas needed. God had hands stretched to the disciples when Jesus ascended into heaven in perpetual blessing upon them, saying, "Go. Go and transform the world. I believe in you. I believe in you so much that I allowed you to raise me as a child. I believe in you so much that I allowed you to give me shelter. I believe in you so much that I allowed you to teach me the law. I believe in you. Believe in me. Believe in me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.